Hello, this is Pastor Vic's Nuggets Show, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. And I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. My focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. Welcome to episode 3 of Pastor Vic's Nuggets. Today we're going to be talking about the spiritual nature of salvation. His Spirit lives in you. Receiving salvation through Jesus Christ is not the end of a life-changing experience, but the beginning of something miraculous in your life, a brand new beginning. All of your sins have been forgiven, and you are clean before God. Like the lowly caterpillar, you've been transformed into a beautiful butterfly, and now it's time to soar. Unless you understand and believe in the spiritual nature of your salvation, you'll always find yourself in religious ritual and traditions. You'll dry up, and then you'll give up. Jesus died on the cross so that you could have a relationship with Him. A relationship implies two-way communication. You speak to Him. We call that prayer. Now, when it comes to prayer, don't try to memorize a prayer and then recite it. Just talk to God as you would to a close friend. The Bible says that Jesus regards you as a friend. So why not talk to Him friend to friend? When God speaks to you, we call that a personal revelation. In other words, He reveals Himself to you. And that can happen in so many different ways. And we'll discuss some of those ways in the future. However, for now, if a thought occurs to you after prayer that you wouldn't normally think of, and it's a thought of love or joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, or self-control, then it's probably from the Lord. Remember, the Holy Spirit now lives in you, and He's guiding you and directing you to become more like Jesus. To fully appreciate what God has done, we need to look at the spiritual side of our nature. Most people tend to think of themselves as soul and body. But God created you with a spirit as well as a soul and body. You see, you're three in one. You are spirit, soul, and body. Just as God is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you want to overcome the disappointments and the scars of the past, the habits that have kept you in bondage, restore broken relationships, and have a sense of purpose and joy in life, then you must have a mind change. That change begins with seeing yourself as spirit, soul, and body, instead of just body and soul, which is very common today. This is such an important change in view or paradigm, it will determine your success in overcoming in this life. There are at least three important Bible verses that confirm our three-part nature. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the very, very beginning of the Bible, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Some translations actually use the word soul. So here we have the physical, the dust of the ground, the spirit breathed into his nostrils, had the breath of life, and becoming a living soul. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul ends closing it, and he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole," here it goes, "spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer says, "For the word of God," meaning the Bible, "is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joint and marrow," that's physical, the body, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." Let's take a look at these three parts who really make up who you are, spirit, soul, and body. We're going to have to use your imagination here, but I want you to imagine three circles, if you will. We'll label one circle as the body, the second one as the soul, and we can label the last one as the spirit. And so we can, in our mind's eye, we want to move these three circles so that they all overlap with one another. And so at the very, very center, the three of them are overlapped. Where the three of them overlap, that's spirit, soul, and body. That's you. That's who you are. So you can see that To ignore the spiritual side of you is to live at only two-thirds of your potential and your ability, that is, as soul and body. But you're not just soul and body, but spirit, soul, and body, all three in one. Now let's take a quick look at these three areas and how these three parts of you interact or communicate with the environment or the world around them, or around you, I should say. First of all, there's your body. Your physical body communicates or interacts with the physical world. And you communicate through your senses. And you know there are five senses. You have your sense of touch, your sense of smell, sense of hearing, sense of sight, and of course your sense of taste. So everything you know about the physical world you live or you live in, you learn through physical experience. As a result of your experiences, you have come to certain conclusions about the world we live in. And of course, as we've said in our first post, not all those conclusions are true. Now let's take a look at the second circle, your soul. Your soul is where your emotions, your decision-making, or we call that the will, your intellect and your personality reside. Your mind, your soul, if you will, interprets all of the stimulus input from the physical body. The soul is also where all of your reasoning resides. And your soul communicates with the souls of other people, and that means relationships, good and bad, are formed as a result of your soul. And so when my soul communicates with my wife, I'm communicating with her soul. Now, I may communicate as a husband and wife, we communicate physically as well, but when we're having a conversation, we're exchanging ideas and thoughts, then that's what I mean by communicating one soul to another. Now, the third circle, of course, is your spirit. I'm going to ask you a question here. If your body communicates with the physical world and your soul communicates with other souls, can you guess what your spirit communicates with? Yeah, that's right. The spiritual realm. So what is the spiritual realm? Well, the Bible teaches that there are basically three different realms, or I shouldn't say different realms, but different parts of the spiritual realm. The first and the most important, of course, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you and can communicate with you. But there's also the spirit of other people, other believers as well. And then finally, there's the spirit of the devil. Yes, the devil is real. You know, he may be called devil or Satan or really represent the same person or the same entity, and he's spiritual in nature. And so that's where how your spirit communicates with other spiritual beings. And in time, you begin to learn, as a Christian, in time, you'll begin to learn how to recognize the difference between the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil, and whether you're being influenced by the spirit of other people. What's important to know is that your past does not have to determine your future. Being Christian means that everything is new. Now, you may look in the mirror and you see no change in your physical body. Yet, you may not think even differently right now in your soul. But being a believer means that your spirit is made alive and you are now able to communicate with God. God's love, guidance, and power is made available to you by His Spirit. Because of Jesus, we can now have direct communication with God. God knows what you need and wants to help you be renewed and filled with His Holy Spirit. One of the important questions that Christians often discuss is Christianity a function of rehabilitation or transformation? In other words, can I change myself? Can I become a good person in my own power and ability? Now, because of our new spiritual connection to God, we are forgiven, and there's no longer condemnation for sin. It was doubt, guilt, shame, regret that tended to keep us living in the past with the belief that we were condemned and that our lives could never change. However, in one tremendous miracle, when you repented and accepted Jesus into your life, you became a new creation. You are forgiven, accepted, and loved by God, and His love means that He will never leave you nor abandon you. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, by the way. It's true that before you accepted Jesus into your life, you were condemned as a result of your sin. Simply put it, you were going to hell for eternity. But now you have changed your destination by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Now, I know a lot of people have a lot of problem, a lot of difficulty in grasping this. But nevertheless, it's clear from the Bible that there are two destinations for people. People are either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And Jesus makes it clear. The New Testament of the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other way to get to the Father or heaven except through him. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:1, "There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh or the soul, but according to the Spirit of God." Don't allow others to try to heap condemnation on you. Without getting into the theology of the sin nature, at least today, let me say that we're all born with a sin nature, a propensity to sin, a tendency to sin if given enough time. So the sin nature means that, as I said, we have a natural tendency to do what is wrong in God's eyes. And that has a lot to do with the fact that we want to be in control and we want what we want, and we do instead of doing what we should do as children of God. So we could say that the central problem with mankind is that we are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. So, and without Jesus, you really can't help yourself. Your sins, although many, were simply the proof that you did not believe or trust in Jesus. Let me repeat that thought. Your sinful life was the evidence of your unbelief or disbelief in what Jesus accomplished for you. However, now you're putting your trust in Jesus and his teaching, and as a result, you are a new creation. Let me repeat 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." A very important question to ask yourself is, as a Christian, are you trying to rehabilitate yourself, or are you allowing God's Holy Spirit to transform you into the person you want to be, that he wants you to be? And this has been a central issue of Christianity for 2,000 years. Does looking like a Christian make you a Christian, or is there something deeper? If we use the word rehabilitation, it really means to rebuild or restore by your own efforts to be good or to sin no more. It's like putting a coat of paint on the exterior of a dilapidated house. It may look good on the outside, but nothing's changed on the inside. And so many Christians try to change by following the rules, traditions, and laws in an attempt to become more Christ-like. This is a form of legalism, outward works, and it doesn't really deal with the root issue, and that's sin. Rehabilitation attempts by self-control to produce lasting change. Sadly, it will never work. You cannot produce genuine spiritual change from the outside in. Before I lapse into heresy, let me say that Christianity shows us what is the right thing to do before God, and we should try with all of our strength to do the right things. But genuine change is an inside job. Transformation, on the other hand, means that your spirit, working with the Holy Spirit of God, is changing you from the inside out. See, it's not just simply a change in mind that you need, but you need a change of heart. That's what transformation is. Romans 12:2 says the following, "And do not be conformed to this world," that's rehabilitation, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." In other words, let God renew your mind. Transformation means that God has placed a new heart in you, and you now have the ability to think God thoughts. Your spirit influences your soul, which then controls your body. Trusting in Jesus means that you believe in him and you're applying his teachings to your life. You may find that difficult in the beginning because you've had a lifetime of habits and wrong thinking to overcome. Remember, your spirit is reborn, but your soul still needs some work. Nevertheless, God says you're a new creation, and God is giving you an opportunity to start over. Or as the kids would say, you get a do-over. And getting a do-over in life is a big deal. As a new creation, how are we supposed to live our lives as Christians? As a follower of Jesus, I don't need to continue in the behavior of the past because that's passed away. We need instruction, but not worldly instruction. It was worldly instruction that got us into the mess we found ourselves in before we trusted in Jesus. We need spiritual instruction from God. And because we are now spiritual, we can now make sense of a spiritual book, and that book is called the Bible. More about that the next time. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website at www.pastorvicsnuggets.com or www.pastorvic.com. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.